ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर ऑफ फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 15 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ प्रियव्रत। सो एज आई ऑफन मेंशन that in Srimad Bhagavatam we get a direct lineage coming all the way from Brahma. So how many of you remember Priyavrata? Who is Priyavrata? It's very good. And who is Swayambhuva Manu? Son of Brahma is Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu, how many sons and daughters he had? Very good. Gora, what are the names of those two sons? Okay. Do you remember the sons' names? Very good. How can you forget? This is Priyavrata I'm talking about. You couldn't have said that I forgot the other one. Okay, and what are the names of three daughters? Any girl? Anyone from? Okay, yes, Shampiri. Very good. Akuti, Prashuti, and Devahuti. And then who appeared in that line? We had previous chapter, who did we discuss about? Very good. Bharat Maharaj. And who was Bharat Maharaj's father? Rishabdev. So see, this is how the whole family line we are getting all the way from Brahma. So this is a proof that these are not just some fictitious fairy tales, as people in India are thinking nowadays. People in India, what they say? Mythology. We can see the so-called scholars are nothing but a bunch of stupid idiots. They're supposed to be scholars. They have their doctorates. They have their PhD. But actually, they don't have any knowledge. And we can't blame them because the education system has become like that. There is no proper education. They're getting PhD. And what is the purpose of, what is the criteria for getting PhD? You have to come up with a new theory. The PhD, if you write a PhD, to get a PhD, you have to write something new. So this is how we can see that how this education system is deviating from actual knowledge. The whole thing is based on speculation. But this is the real knowledge. This is the real knowledge. How did the creation begin? It begins from there. Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature. The material nature becomes manifest. Then Garbhadakshayi Vishnu lies on the Garbha ocean. and from his navel comes out a lotus. And Brahma is the first created being. Brahma is situated on that lotus. And 14 planetary systems are situated on the stem of that lotus. So is this scientific, or their Big Bang theory is scientific? And all these so-called scholars are going after this Big Bang. And their thing is there is a Big Bang. And this creation came. And our question is, were you there to hear that bang? Who was there to hear that bang? See, just a simple consideration. Can any of you imagine what was happening in Ujjain 100 years ago? Can anybody? But can you find out what happened 100 years ago? If we find the descriptions of a person who was there 100 years ago and he wrote, this is what was happening. So many years ago, there was a king called Vikramaditya here. There was a king, there was a princess called Mitravrinda. There was, the king Vikramaditya had 9 scholars in his court. From that, although we are not there at that time, but we get the description. But if somebody had to speculate, what he would come up with? He'll come up with another nonsensical theory like Big Bang. You should be banged. Like that should be. So this is how the world is being misdirected today. That's the unfortunate state of affairs of this world. Now here we can sing the glories of the descendants. Now we came up to Priyavrata and Priyavrata's lineage. And coming to Rishabhdev, Rishabhdev's son, Bharat Maharaj. Not just one son, 100 sons. And Bharat is the eldest one, he became the king. But there are 9 yogis. 9 of his sons, like king's sons, became ascetics, became yogi. And not ordinary yogis, Navajogendras. And their teachings are available still today. So, what happened to King Bharat Maharaj? There's a description. Then also, now there'll be descriptions. What happened to Bharat Maharaj's son? And grandsons, and so forth. Like, let us see this chapter. The glories of the descendants of, so I'll just read the summary of this before I go to the verse. In this chapter, the descendants of Bharat Maharaj and many other kings are described. The son of Maharaj Bharat was named Sumati. He followed the path of liberation given by Rishabhdev. Some people mistakenly thought Sumati to be the direct incarnation of Lord Buddha. The son of Sumati was Devatajit, and his son was Devadumna. Devadumna's son was Parameshthi, and his son was Pratiha. Pratiha was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he had 3 sons named Pratiharta, Prastota, and Udgata. Pratiharta had 2 sons, Aja and Bhuma. The son of Bhuma was Udgita, and the son of Udgita was Prashtava, and the son of Prashtava was Bibhu, and the son of Bibhu was Prithushena, whose son was Nakta. The wife of Nakta, Druti, gave birth to Gaya, who was a very famous and saintly king. Actually, King Gaya was a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And because of his great devotion to Lord Vishnu, he received the title Mahapurusha. King Gaya had a son named Chitraratha. Sumati and Abarodha had sons named Chitraratha, Sumati and Abarodhana. The son of Chitraratha was the emperor Samrat, and his son was Marichi, whose son was Bindu. Bindu's son was Madhu, and Madhu's son was Virabrata. Virabrata's two sons were Manthu and Pramanthu, and the son of Manthu was Bhuvana. The son of Bhuvana was Tashta, and the son of Tashta was Biraja, who glorified the whole dynasty. Biraja had 100 sons and one daughter. Of these, the son named Satyajit became very famous. Now, does it sound like fairy tale? To write a fairy tale like that, one must be very, very brilliant. What an imagination. And not only giving the names, the descriptions of their activities. So we have to, this is the intelligence, is to accept the Vedic scriptures as the source of knowledge. And that is how they need a change of our education system. Ultimately, we have to come to the point and we have to say, like, throw all those books into the Ganga and Jamuna and in the ocean, because those are nonsense. Technologically, they may have made some advancement, but what is that knowledge? Anyway, let's see, how many of you have studied engineering and other subjects here? And how many of you have gone to the university? What did you learn there? Did you learn anything worth its while? Abhacharan, what's your response? Does anything come to any use? It's simply a misdirected intelligence, a misdirected knowledge. But the thing is, the problem we are facing today is we have to make a compromise with this world. Otherwise, devotees will become misfit. Therefore, there is a need to create our own system, create our own society, that we don't have to depend upon that world. Then only we can just tell our children, there is no need to go to those schools. Just study this knowledge. It will happen. ISKCON is only 50 years old. What is 50 years? When you consider Islam is 1,000 years old, Christianity is 2,000 years old, Buddhism is 2,500 years old. What is 50 years? We're just the beginning. So, anyway, this is in a prose form, the text. So I'll just read it through and discuss about it. Shri Shuka Ubacha, Bharatasya Atmajaha, Sumatir Nama Bhihita, Yamuha Babo, Kechit Pakhandina, Rishabha Padobim Anubartamanam, Chanarya, Abeda Shamman Mantadang, Abeda Shamam Natang, Devotang Shamanishaya, Papi Ashang, Kalu Kalpuishanti. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabdeva. But some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principle in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddha Dev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoctions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles. But in this age of Kali, a community has sprung up known as the Arya Samaj, which is ignorant of the import of the Vedas in the Parampara system. Their leaders decry all bona fide acharyas, and they pose themselves as the real followers of the Vedic principles. These acharyas who do not follow the Vedic principles are presently known as the Arya Samaj or the Jains. Not only do they not follow the Vedic principles, but they have no relationship with Lord Buddha. Imitating the behavior of Sumati, they claim to be the descendants of Rishabdev. Those who are Vaishnavas carefully avoid their company because they are ignorant of the path of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvai ahameva vedya. The real purpose of the Vedas is to understand me. This is the injunction of all Vedic literatures. One who does not know the greatness of Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as Aryan. Lord Buddha, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists. Atheists do not want any god, and Lord Buddha therefore said that there is no god. But he adopted the means to instruct the followers for their benefit. Therefore he preached in a duplicitous way, saying that there is no God. Nonetheless, he himself was the incarnation of God. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshur Unmilitang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaung Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Nishatarine Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanang Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, Srila Prabhupada covered a lot in this purport, although not very long, but this purport says a lot. Rishabdev, what was the activities of Rishabdev like? Who remembers? Rishabdev, he was an abadhut. Abadhut means one who does not have any external consciousness. Like a madman. But is the abadhut a madman? No. Madman is a person who has a deranged mentality. Whose mind doesn't function. Whose intelligence doesn't function. Like that is a madman. Isn't that, Rupa Gaura? Isn't that the definition of madman? A person with a deranged mind, whose mind doesn't function. But in that respect we can consider two opposites often look alike. Like the sunrise and sunset, aren't they opposite? But they look alike. So one of extreme is a person whose intelligence is completely lost, whose mind doesn't function. And the other extreme is superconscious. Superconscious means Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means he is not conscious of this world. So one person cannot relate to this world and the other person doesn't want to relate to this world. So that's why their activities appear to be like a madman. Now Rishabhdev's activity was like a madman. Why? Because he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he did not have any awareness of this surrounding world that was surrounding him. He used to move around naked. He would laugh. Sometimes he would cry. That's what happens. Nittati, gayati, hashyati, unmadavat loko bhajya. A pure devotee who is completely lost in Krishna consciousness, his activities are like sometimes he cries, he sings, he dances, he unmadavat, like a madman. Unmadavat means like a madman. Lokobajya, without having any consciousness of his external surrounding. Rishabhdev was a king. He was a king of the whole earth planet. But he left his kingdom and he made Bharat Maharaj the king. He gave wonderful instructions to them and then he left his kingdom. And when he left his kingdom, he became so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That means his consciousness was so absorbed in Krishna that he started to behave like that. And now here it is said that Bharat Maharaj's son Sumati also became like his grandfather. And he also started to behave like that. And some atheistic, unscrupulous people started to propagate that he is Lord Buddha. Because the scripture mentions about Lord Buddha, that Lord Buddha will come. So he started to, and they started to promote him as... Now, he is totally unconscious about what's happening. But these people started to... develop a new theory rejecting the Vedas. What Buddha did, why they were saying that he is like Buddha? Because the Buddha didn't have anything to do with the Vedas. Same thing also happened with Rishabhdev. When Rishabhdev was wandering like that as a madman in South India, he was traveling through a province called Konka and Benka. And the king of Konka and Benka became envious of him. His name was Arhat. It's all described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was thinking, I am a king and nobody follows me like that. And this man is naked, doesn't have anything, no place to stay, doesn't even know where what he was going to eat. And see, so many thousands of people are following him. So he started to imitate the activities of Rishabhdev. And a new religion, and the thing is, when they practice like that, what happens? The Vedic scriptures are rejected. Normally, the religious principles means to follow the Vedas. And these people, these activities, there's no need to follow the Vedas. You can just behave like that. But what's the goal? Like Buddhadev gave the goal to them, to become nothing. Why? Because if you are a nonsense, then it's better that you become nothing. to become nothing is better than being a nonsense. Because as a nonsense, you create disturbance to the society. Buddha Dev came to stop, make them stop the animal sacrifice that was going on in the name of the Vedas. These people are a bunch of unscrupulous people, but in the name of the Vedas, they were killing the animals and eating their flesh. So Buddha came and said, don't slaughter animals. That's not the goal of life. That shouldn't be. So Buddha Dev came and made them better than the worst. They were atheists and they were meat eaters. So he made them stop meat eating. So if they're atheists but stop meat eating, is better than something. So that is why Buddha actually introduced his doctrine. And here also we can notice that Buddha did not say anything about God. He didn't say against God. He was not promoting atheism. When people asked about God, Buddha was silent. And his teachings was, be good. Speak the truth. Respect the superiors. Don't cause violence. Just as the Christians have their 10 commandments. You should not kill, thou shall not kill. You should love your neighbors as yourself. Like the people, those who are completely wicked, need some instructions like that. Does a good man need these instructions? Does a person who is non-violent by nature, the person who doesn't inflict pain even on an ant, does he need to be told, you should not kill? Will the teacher go and tell him that? No. Those who are killing, he needs to be instructed in that. You should not kill. So this is how Buddha was presenting his thing. Like Mayavadam, the purpose of Buddha's appearance has been described by in Dashavatara Sutra. Nindasi jagya viderahah shruti jatan sadaya hridaya darshita pashughatam keshavadhrita buddha sharira. Nindasi, criticizing, jagya viderahah, the jagya vidhi, sacrifice, shruti jatan, which came from the Vedas. Why sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam? Sadaya, his tender heart, his merciful heart. Sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam, seeing that the animals were being slaughtered. Keshavadhrita buddha sharira. Keshav, Krishna, assumed buddha sharira. Now to go back to Rishabhdev as Konka and Venka, king of King Konka and Venka, Arhat, he started to imitate. Now, can one imitate the activities of a person who has no awareness of the surrounding? Who is behaving like a madman? It happens. Sometimes, devotees behave in some unusual way, and some unscrupulous people who want to be known as a famous person or glorified, they start to imitate their activity. Like for example, one day a snake charmer was singing about Lord Shiva, playing his instruments, a snake charmer. And Haridas Thakur, hearing that, became so absorbed that he started to dance like a madman. And there was a brahmana. Everyone was so impressed. So he thought, well, this guy is getting so much appreciation, so much recognition. So he also started to dance. But what did the snake charmer do? He took up a stick and started to beat him. And he ran away from there. See, if somebody had, if somebody was in ecstasy and had having this kind of experience, then even if somebody beat him or insulted him, he would not feel it because he doesn't have any external consciousness. That's why he's behaving like that. So imitating those activities of an exalted devotee should never be done. One should listen to the instructions of those devotees. And as a matter of fact, the Uttamadhikari Vaishnavas do not even instruct, do not even preach. It is the Madhyamadhikari devotees who preach. They follow and they preach. Therefore, Madhyamadhikari devotees should be, their footsteps should be followed. Now, this king Arhat started to imitate the activities of Rishabhdev. And as a result of that, what happened? How many Jains are here? Is there any Jain here? I would apologize before making that statement. As a result of that, Jainism started. See what's happening. Rishabhdev was totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He did not have any external consciousness. That's why he was moving about naked. And the so-called Jains, what do they do? In the middle of the cities, you know, like they're walking naked. As if there is no cloth available in the market. And people are so misdirected. The other day I was told that some Jain sadhus were walking naked. And so the chief minister also started to walk with them. That's what is happening. No understanding whatsoever. And he started to walk. He at least took off his shoes to walk with them. And as a result of that, he got a blister in his feet. So these are the unfortunate things. Like, anyway, I mean, this shows that how ignorant people have become. No understanding. One should actually consider, why should one do that? If one doesn't have any external consciousness, like Sukhdev Goswami, he was moving about naked. The four Kumars, they're remaining naked. But that is because they don't have any external consciousness. They don't feel the need because they are not at all in the body consciousness. So in whichever condition the body is, they don't care. Anyway, this is how Jainism started. That's why, what the Jains say? Who is the original saint? Rishabhdev. They draw the line from Rishabhdev. And who is after Rishabhdev? They call him as Arihant. Bhagavatam describes him as Arhat. They describe him as Arihant. And in this way, they go like their line. And then came Mahavir. And what is their link with the Vedas? Nothing. They don't accept the Vedas. How will you attain liberation? By walking naked. Not shaving your beard. Pull the beard and mustache. What's the use? Like, are we going to achieve spiritual success by our material activities, bodily activities? No. Spiritual progress will come from our spiritual activities. And spiritual activities means soul's connection to Krishna. The parts connection to the whole. A simple consideration. And as so then Prabhupada pointed out that Buddha, in order to finally, Prabhupada is saying, why did Buddha do that? He rejected Vedas with a purpose, to stop animal sacrifice. Because this undesirable activity was going on in the name of the Vedas, therefore it says, reject the Vedas. There is no need, not reject the Vedas, there is no need to follow the Vedas. As it is, people are not following the Vedic teachings. In the name of the Vedas, they were sacrificing animal, saying that this is the activity that has been prescribed in the Vedas. Kill the animals. So he said, no, don't kill animals. Don't inflict pain on others. Because if you inflict pain on others, that pain will come back to you. Just as we find Narad Muni's instruction to Mrigari. He told Mrigari that you are inflicting pain to these animals now, and the same pain you have to go through. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. So there was no need to reject the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice, but because these people were completely useless, hopeless, that's why he did that. Anyway, so at least we feel fortunate that we found the right way. How many of you think that you found the right way? Thank you. 100% conviction. So follow this path and don't deviate from that path. Because you have a grave responsibility, solemn responsibility, to educate this world that has been misdirected. In this age of Kali, the world has become misdirected. Therefore, there is a need to distribute this knowledge. And that's why we sing that song, Tava Kathamritam. Krishna Kathamritam is the solution to the problems of this world. And the gopis are saying that those who distribute that Krishna consciousness, they are the most munificent, they are the greatest givers to this world. They are the greatest benefactors to the world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of it. So that means this is the way. So just, and Mahaprabhu himself in simple words said, Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, speak to him about Krishna. At least among yourselves you speak about Krishna. I'm also seeing one kind of attitude is developing here among some devotees. They want to go here and there and study Bhagavatam. As if Bhagavatam is not being studied here. What is happening here? What are we doing here? So why do we have to go to some other place to study Bhagavatam? And it's not just studying Bhagavat. Application of Bhagavat is the important thing. To preach and practice, that is what is Bhagavat. Just talking about Bhagavat is not enough. Preaching about Bhagavat means make the world Krishna conscious. So please recognize the fact that there is no need to go anywhere. Srila Prabhupada has created the perfect arrangement. All ISKCON temples are the perfect situation for studying Bhagavat, practicing Bhagavat and understanding Bhagavat. So, and time and time again from the scriptures, what we are seeing, service and service and service. Not just some intellectual cultivation. Memorizing the verses, Bade Pandit, one guy. Prabhupada told me, when I told Prabhupada that I wanted to learn Sanskrit, Prabhupada's question was, why? I tried to give him excuses, why? And Prabhupada smashed me one after another. And then finally Prabhupada told me that there are so many Sanskrit scholars, but what are they doing? What are they doing about spreading Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada quoted a verse saying, Gyano khale jathashati, just like a lamp covered by a basket. If a lamp is covered by a basket, will the lamp be of any use? Will the lamp give out the light? No. So Prabhupada compared those Sanskrit scholars are like that. They have the knowledge of Sanskrit, but they are not giving the light to this world. On the other hand, when a child spoke to a minister who came to see Srila Prabhupada, do you know Krishna? And the minister jokingly said, no, I don't know Krishna. She said, oh, you don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Prabhupada heard that, he said, this is preaching. Even a child can preach to a big minister. You don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually all these big people need to hear that. Then instead of walking with those Nanga sadhus, they will come and sit in this class and listen to this Bhagavad Katha. Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement. Every morning, Bhagavatam Pat. Every evening, Bhagavad Gita. And then what happens? Then throughout the day, what we can meditate on what we heard about Srimad Bhagavatam. If nothing, at least try to memorize the verse. Just to meditate on what you heard in the class. And this is how we have to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And we are seeing the movement is expanding. This movement is expanding. Why? Because the devotees are going out and preaching. Devotees are going out distributing Prabhupada's books. And people are becoming affected by that. So just be convinced you found the right way and just stay on this path and keep on practicing. That reminds me of what happens when one becomes a Sanskrit scholar. I'll give you some Sanskrit scholars, early days. Prabhupada sent some devotees to India, not to learn Sanskrit as such, but to learn. But some of them left Prabhupada. What happened to some Sanskrit scholars? They started to find faults with Prabhupada's writing. And as a result of that, where are they? Whereas we are seeing what Prabhupada's writing is doing all over the world. And we find that tendency even among some so-called Sanskrit scholars. They're so pandit, they're such big pandits that they're criticizing Prabhupada. I'll give you the simple process. Have implicit faith in Srila Prabhupada that he is a representative of Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness according to his prediction all over the world. Yes, there is some mistakes in the books. I'll admit that. But why that mistakes? Because Prabhupada translated the thing in dictaphone. Devotees who transcribed, they made that mistake. And Prabhupada didn't have the time to go through all the writings himself. And those days there was nobody who could properly edit his writings. So that is one way to look at it. And you know what is my way of looking at it? My way of looking at it is that it's a taste of Srila Prabhupada. Taste of Krishna. How much faith I have in Srila Prabhupada. And my thing is, even if there is mistake, Prabhupada is the pure devotee. And these mistakes are, as I said, is tasting my faith. So easily one can think, oh, Prabhupada made mistakes, so Prabhupada is not a pure devotee. So sometimes Maya puts a test like that. It's Maya's test. Whatever is there, ultimately what really matters, is the essence is there? Is the essence real? Is the essence benefiting? What is the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teaching? Surrender unto Krishna, surrender unto Krishna, surrender unto Krishna. What is the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teaching? Serve Krishna, serve Krishna, serve Krishna. What is the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teachings? Distribute Krishna consciousness, distribute Krishna consciousness, distribute Krishna consciousness. So can we go wrong just following these three things? So that's what we need to do. Just let us follow the wonderful arrangement that Srila Prabhupada made. And I can tell you, in 40 years of my spiritual life in ISKCON, there was never a moment when I felt that I made a mistake joining this movement. Never a moment. So at least this much I can assure you. And if you follow the path properly, you will also come to the same conclusion. Srila Prabhupada made the perfect arrangement. If you don't like to stay in the temple, if you feel you're getting bored, go out and distribute books. And I tell you, book distribution is so purifying. And those who do that, they understand, they know. It's so exciting, it's so enlivening, and it's so purifying. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, there's some question. Come in. Okay, three questions from. These are all from you. Dhanavad Pranam Guru Maharaj, is it better to be killed by a demon or to be killed by the Lord, creating so much trouble, like assisting Sita Haran by assuming the form of golden deer? Yeah, what's your question?
What is better? Because
what did I tell yesterday in the class? What did Marichi say?
He
There was a coin, when there was a choice to be killed by Ravan or to kill by Ram, he decided to be killed by Ram.
But at the same time, he made so much troubles for Ram.
Anyway, okay, it's better to make trouble for the Lord and be killed by him. Then killed by a demon like Rakshas, Ravan. We know that there are different planets for residing the demigods and the demons. But here we see that many pastimes happened on Earth planet and the demons were residing here, like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kubera's capital. So, see, the Earth planet is some place where all upper, lower and middle planetary systems are together. And the residents of the demons are there, but the demons also sometimes dominate the Earth planet. Like Ravan came and stayed in Sri Lanka. But Ravan's ancestors and others, they were staying in the lower planetary system. All the big demons. And so Ravan took over Lanka because it was so opulent, which was the place of Kuvera. He came and he made his capital here.
Why Kuvera made his capital here? Because he's a demigod.
It was given by the Lord for his residence, this Lanka. One of your previous classes, you have told that the reason for leaving Brahmachari Ashram is not to have good association. How can we create that type of environment where insiders will want to remain for long and outsiders will want to join? How relationship can be developed among the Brahmacharis? Very good question. So I'll say the first thing is, you become the ideal Brahmachari. Charity begins at home, meaning we ourselves are the first example, right? Like, you see, otherwise what happens if we start thinking, well, which Brahmachari is the ideal Brahmachari, is not behaving properly, we'll develop a tendency to be critical. Therefore, we take it better to take it upon ourselves. Let me become an ideal example. So much so that the devotees, those who are here, will want to be here, and those who are from outside, they will also want to be here. All right. So by seeing you, all other brahmacharis will be inspired, and they'll start to follow you. All right. So will you become an example? Thank you. I wish you all the best. So there are some questions from the internet. Let's see. Bibhu Chaitanya Das is called Ujjain. Okay. Question is probably off topic. Please answer if you like. Hare Krishna, okay. From Srila Prabhupada's lecture in Uppsala University, Stockholm, 1973, Prabhupada is saying, if you are fond of tasting wine, I simply recommend that you simply think that this taste of wine is Krishna. That will make you the greatest yogi. Forgive me for my inapt paraphrasing, but doesn't the above statement encourage spiritual elation through the use of psychedelic drugs? So, can you hear me, Vibhuji? Can you hear me? Or come in, inside. Because you need to hear.
Yeah.
You see, one of the qualifications of a preacher is he knows what to say to whom. Right? Now, you see, Uppsala University in Stockholm is one of the biggest education center. It's a whole city, actually. And you know how the atmosphere of the university is, right? So that's why Prabhupada felt that instead of telling them no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and no gambling, that would make them immediately negative to Prabhupada's teaching. Therefore Prabhupada is actually pointing out that what you appreciate, you try to see Krishna in that. You like to drink, see Krishna as the taste of the wine. As Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Now, as you are saying, won't it promote? Obviously, this lecture is not meant for temple devotees. Those who are drinking wine, but Prabhupada knows that in this way, when they become Krishna, when they take to Krishna consciousness, when they start to chant the holy name, they'll automatically give it up. So it's not actually promoting, it is actually preventing eventually.
So I heard in the lecture that there were some devotees, they were quoting Patra Pushpam Palantvayam and they were offering marijuana to Krishna and they were smoking it, and then they used to say that when they read Krishna Bhagavata smoking it, they see Krishna. So that's what I was worried about.
Okay, where are those devotees? Either they became pure devotees now, giving up, or they got lost. The thing is, there are all kinds of people in this world, especially in the Western world. The quiet point is, you see, you are doing that, like you are trying to see Krishna in that. But then gradually you will begin to think that this smoking marijuana is making you so dull that you can't even think of Krishna. So if you are serious, you will say, to hell with marijuana. Right? So this is how one will come back to the right track. Yeah, let me first answer this question. Next question is from Sushil. Okay. Many people chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra as Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. They will be similarly benefited by this chanting as we are? Yes. When you start chanting, it's like going round and round and round. So when you go round, can you find the beginning? Dina Vatsala Das from the internet. Book distribution is indeed a wonderful service, but sometimes after trying for a while, if books don't go, I lose enthusiasm. How to maintain constant enthusiasm, even if one is not having good results in book distribution? Yeah. You see, in Krishna consciousness, what do you learn first? To be attached to result, or to render service. So, don't become attached to the result, but just carry on. And then you will see how Krishna will help you. There are so many such instances, like when devotees become discouraged. I can tell you one wonderful story. That was in the early days. One devotee went out distributing books and he was so disappointed. He was so disappointed. No one was taking the books. He was doing it in a parking lot in a shopping center. And then all of a sudden someone came and told him, you know, I was thinking of donating $5,000. And I was thinking who to give it to. And when I saw you going out urging people to take the books, seeing your enthusiasm, I feel inspired to give you this $5,000. So on his own he was thinking no one is taking the book. But this person saw that how sincerely he was endeavoring, so that, you know, he decided to give him $5,000. So this is how Krishna reciprocates. So just continue rendering service without worrying about the result. You can't even imagine how Krishna may reward you. Jagmohan Das, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, my question is, from yesterday's class, Lakshman didn't even see the face of a woman for 14 years. Did Lakshman see the face of Surpanakha? From that description, no, Lakshman did not. But with his mystic power, he could chop off her nose without even looking at her. Yes, Kishori. तो तुम प्रैक्टिकल ये बताओ कौन सी स्थिति में प्रैक्टिकली अप्लाई नहीं कर पाती हो. तो अगर तुम प्रभुपाद का निर्देश मान लिया तो लड़ाई झगड़ा मत करना. और जब कोई तुम्हारा निंदा करता है तो सोचना कि ओ ये मेरा दोस्त है, ये मेरा सुरीद है, मेरा शुभाकांक्षी है, कि हमको और भी परफेक्ट होने का सुयोग दे रहा है ना. ये जो गलत मैं नहीं देख पाया वो देखा और ये कितना अच्छा काम किया, मैं उसको सुधारने का अवसर मिला है. ठीक है. श्री रामचंद्र सोचो मत, रामचंद्र उसको संभालेंगे. क्योंकि जैसे तुम्हारे दिल में राक्षस है, रावण है, वैसे दिल में रामचंद्र भी है. तो रामचंद्र वो सब असुरों को संभालेंगे. भगवान सुन नहीं रहे यार, तुम ठीक से बोल नहीं रहे हो. ये सोचना होगा, अगर तुम सही रूप से बोलोगे तो भगवान जरूर सुनेंगे, भगवान तो तुम्हारे दिल में बैठे हुए हैं सुनने के लिए, तो तुम सही रूप से भगवान के पास प्रार्थना करते रहना। और इस सिलसिले में ये भी हमें समझना होगा कि भगवान इतना लंबा समय लेकर काम करते हैं कि उनको काम करने में थोड़ा बहुत समय लग जाता है कभी कभी। हाँ, तो हम तो बोलते हैं उसका मतलब ये नहीं, जब बोलेंगे उसी समय भगवान जवाब दे देंगे। इस सिलसिले में एक ये है, हाँ, एक कहना है। एक लोग पूछा, भगवान आपके लिए करोड़ों साल कितनी लंबी है? भगवान बोले एक मिनट। और आपके लिए करोड़ों रुपया कितनी है? एक पैसा। भगवान बोला एक पैसा। तो वो बोला कृपा करके हमको एक पैसा देंगे। तब भगवान जवाब दिया, एक मिनट। No, not karma. Why should it be karma kanda? I mean, in order to go to spiritual world, don't we have to become free from material bondage? So is it karma kanda? So karma kanda is when the goal is in this material world. But if the goal is spiritual, then it is not karma kanda. You get it? Becoming free to material bondage doesn't mean that one is aspiring for liberation. It's coming automatically. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, Acha, there's another question. This is from Jamuna Priya Devi Dasi. Dearest Gurudev, I want to thank you so much for your timeless instructions, which will be our guide for many years to come and prevent us from deviating from Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, dear Most Father. My question is, whilst Lord Buddha established Buddhism on the premise of not following the Vedas, to reject meat eating, then how can people like Dalai Lama eat meat? Your fallen daughter, Jamuna Priya Devidas. Good, very good question. So that means they are not the followers of Lord Buddha. They're just like, as Prabhupada said, most of the Christians today are not Christians. Prabhupada used to point out that the Christian means following the Ten Commandments. And what's the first commandment? Thou shalt not kill. So when you're killing, slaughtering these animals, are you following Jesus? Right? So they claim, they make claim, and they may be recognized that they are Buddhists, but actually they are not Buddhists. Buddhism in course of time got went through different phases. You see, Buddhism became so popular in India that many in the aspects on the Vedas, which were not the pure teachings of Vedas, entered into Buddhism. For example, tantras, tamasic tantra. And in places like Tibet, they were practicing all that. Now, in tamasic tantra, they eat meat. So that's why when it entered into Buddhism, that aspect entered into Buddhism, they started to follow that. But the pure teachings of Buddha, they don't know. They think Buddhism means to meditate, to realize that you are nothing. That's their objective. What to practice, how to practice, they are not interested. The good Buddhist will become Hare Krishna and others, who knows, Maya Devi will take care of them. Alright. Those who are like, it's happening. Many people are today, many Christians are joining ISKCON. Many Jews are joining ISKCON. Like at one time all the transcendental meditation people, TM people, became Hare Krishna in Australia. Because they saw that this meditation that they are preaching is not at all transcendental. The real transcendental meditation is chanting Hare Krishna. So many of them joined ISKCON. So, you know, like it depends how honest one is about his spiritual search. Because Krishna, as the super soul, will guide a sincere soul. I thought I'll end the class. Praneshwari Radhika Devi Dasi. Okay. I am trying to fully surrender as per your instruction, but often face obstacles in doing so. Guru Maharaj, how to keep up the enthusiasm and focus for surrender? Is surrender that easy? Or is surrender very difficult? Very difficult. The surrender is otherwise very easy. But what is preventing us from surrendering is our false ego. Right? So as long as we have a false ego, it'll be difficult to surrender. So try to get rid of false ego. And try to get rid of false ego means Trinadopi Sunichena. You know the verse? No? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtakam, the third verse, is describing become more humble than a blade of grass, become as tolerant as a tree. Don't desire any respect for yourself and offer all respect to others. Can you do that? Then you'll see surrendering becomes very easy. Okay? Vaibhav Sakshena. Okay. मेरा प्रश्न है कि रावण असुर क्यों बना? वो इतना ज्ञानी था और इतना बड़ा पंडित था. इसका मतलब ये होता है पंडित भी ज्ञानी भी राक्षस बन सकता है. समझा? राक्षस का मतलब क्या होता है? जो भगवान को नहीं मानता है, जो भगवान के विरोधी बनते हैं. तो जो भगवान के विरोधी है तो पंडित लोग विरोधी होता है आजकल? नहीं. हाँ, पंडित सब पंडित भक्त बन गया तो कितने पंडित भक्त बना? तुम जैसे एक दो और बाकी तो नहीं. हाँ, तो मतलब जो पंडित हो सकता है लेकिन जो भगवान के भगवान को नहीं मानता है वो ही असुर बन जाता है. ठीक है. ओके. हरे कृष्ण गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे.